Tapa applies not only to the body, but also to the mind and the soul. If it is only physical, in the form of branding and stamping, then tapa has not actually taken place, and religious practice becomes hypocritical. Without tapa or inner repentance, the soul cannot live as a Vaishnava. The heart remains impure, and the whole process becomes useless. Therefore, good friends, seek repentance without delay. That means the way you understand the material existence, the material endeavor, is not, you know, worthwhile. So one is not keeping that as a focus, one doesn't maintain the determination to progress materially. Right? Otherwise, then one is feeling the material world is fine. That's the natural situation of the living entity. How one will give that up to take up the spiritual endeavor, right? This idea of best of both worlds doesn't exist, right? There's only best in one world, and the other world it's, you know, varieties of, you know, not so rotten, you know, more rotten, really rotten, disgustingly rotten, like that, like that. Yes.
Isn't the concept of Vedic culture as a kind of an idea of the best of
What do you mean by best?
I mean, whatever beneficial can be gotten from the both worlds.
Whatever beneficial can be gotten from both worlds. What is a benefit of this world?
Like those things which relate to the subtle world.
And then, so if we brought in some solid 24-karat gold chains and tied you up to this pillar, you'd be happy. Because it's gold. Everyone who walks by, check out the gold, you know. Hey, but you're tied up. Yeah, but it's gold. So what's so great about Sattva-gun? We're very pleasantly, you know, like a deer is very pleasantly an animal, while, let's say, a warthog is not quite as pleasantly an animal. You know, or a snake's really nasty, but a deer is really nice and kind.
But
Sattva-gun
is enlightened.
Enlightened of what? Enlightened of the mode of ignorance. More light.
Ignorance light.
Yeah. Then the lighter side of ignorance.
So
what's the good about it? You can go to heavenly planets, you can be nice and successful here, and then, you know, take birth again here in the heavenly planets. And then after that, you can take birth again either here or the heavenly planets. And After that, again, you can take birth either here or in the heavenly planets. So what is this speciality of the mode of goodness here that's so great?
It's more favorable for self-realization.
And what does self-realization mean?
Devotional service.
Devotional service. So actually, devotional service is of what's of value. So is there anything here that actually is useful?
If it's connected to Krishna, then...
Yes, so its usefulness means its connection to Krishna. Right? Just let's say like this. Let us say you're on, you know, some island somewhere, some tropical island, you know, like the ones, you know, the typical ones, you know, you can see it, you know, from this side to that side. There's one coconut tree and a few other bushes there. There are plenty of coconuts on it. And you're sitting there with all these fabulous, you know, cutting edge electric machines. Right? So, how useful are they?
Yeah, not so much.
Not so much.
They look nice.
They look good, yeah. You can sit back, lean on your coconut tree, look at
Maybe
them.
Maybe catch the coconut.
Can you attempt to break the coconut?
Yeah, okay. So, the point is do they have any value without devotional service? Okay. So, a mirage doesn't have any importance. Devotional service is the only reality. So, because of the transcendental position of devotional service, and it's the natural nature of the soul, and the soul has a relationship with Krishna that is expressed through activities, right? Those activities have a natural form, a natural culture, a natural way to express. So that reflection in the material world that looks more like what it is they do in the spiritual world becomes a more natural area to use, right? It means, in other words, the empowerment of the devotional activities comes out, it fits more naturally there. That's all. But it's not that you can't apply it somewhere else. Does that make sense? So, its importance is only its usefulness in connecting to devotional service. So within that you can say, okay, this aspect is a little bit more nicely connects, that one is more difficult to connect. But without the devotional service, it doesn't actually have any value. Right? You understand? So there's no such thing as the best of both worlds. You understand? And even if we want to look at, no, but here it has all these nice qualities and all that, those qualities are still Brahman. They're still Krishna. So dead matter doesn't have, pradhan doesn't have any qualities as such. It's just a very, you know, just a homogeneous mass. Right? You can't distinguish between one element and another. It's just all one mass. So only when Brahman enters, then it separates. And then you can, the qualities are able to be manifest in that a particular aspect of the 24 elements is able to carry particular qualities of Krishna. You know what I'm saying? Let's say like we have a water bottle. Okay? Now if we put it out in the exact center of the Sahara Desert and it's empty, what's its importance? So that's the point, is even though the forms are there, without the substance, which is the Lord, and devotional service, it doesn't have any meaning. Does that make sense? So that's why we say someone who's not a devotee doesn't have any good qualities. We can say, no, but they're very nice, they're humble, they're intelligent, they're very active, they're successful, they're so many things. But the point is that quality that you perceive, that's actually the Lord's quality. but they don't see the Lord in it. So what benefit will they get from being nice? Right? They'll be nice for some time, and after a while, from their niceness, they'll get nice facilities. And then once they have nice facilities, then they'll get conditioned to those facilities. So instead of working for the facilities, they just want to sit back and enjoy the facilities. So then they stop producing the piety to maintain those facilities, so facilities start to get less, but they have a taste for those facilities. So now what are they going to do? Are they going to be nice to get those facilities? No, they're going to be not nice. And then they'll be sinful, so then they'll get less, they'll suffer more and more. When the suffering gets so much, they'll decide, this is too much, I have to become nice. So then they'll become nice, and then, you know what I'm saying? So it's not actually there. One could say, no, it's there, I can see it right now. Yes, but how the soul is eternal. Come back after 20 years, will you see it? Or when they go to the next body? So they don't actually have any good qualities. What they have is what you work with, you interact. It's not they have no good qualities, so we treat them all badly. No. What they're manifesting now is how you interact. Right? And based on that, they'll be able to appreciate devotional service through those qualities. But it's still the devotional service that makes those qualities of value. Otherwise, if not, it's just nice animals instead of not so nice animals. You know what I'm saying?
So the person with the nice qualities, he can make faster advancement in Krishna consciousness because they look similar to the...
Depends. Not necessarily. Right? Who's taking... Who in the beginning was taking up Krishna consciousness more seriously? Seriously, the Westerners or the Indians? Yeah. So piety means someone who's pious if they surrender, then certain aspects are very easy. But if they don't surrender, then what's the meaning?
But if they surrender, they can make faster advancement.
It depends. It depends upon what their piety is in. What are you thinking of? What is this quality of piety that you're thinking of?
They're doing the puja nicely.
They're doing the puja nicely. So they're attached to their particular guru that they and their parents and their grandparents were worshipping. So that's going to be good in devotional service?
They're very friendly.
No, but you didn't ask for the last one. They're doing their puja, and everybody's on the altar. There's hundreds of pictures there. They worship everybody and everything. So will that be important for devotional service?
If they are ready to put
Radha Krishna on the top, and then after that, you know, Kali and Shiva and Durga and Ganesh and Kartikeya and, you know, like that, and what do you call it? Lakshmi, yeah. One guy even had Hitler on his altar because his business is going really good because of the Second World War. So that's okay. They'll make good advancement. As much as the not necessarily as pious Westerner who only has Prabhupada and Radha Krishna and Lord Chaitanya on his altar. They'll make the same advancement. Means use your brain, don't just sentiment. Use your brain. Will they make the same advancement?
Except the philosophy of Prabhupada.
Yeah, and the philosophy of Prabhupada, do we worship all those demigods?
Down on the side.
Down on the side. So how many temples have you seen that we have demigods down on the side?
For their level.
For their level. Okay, so that's their level. But you say they'll advance quickly. So when does that advancement start?
When they remove it.
Yes. You understand? So piety is not necessarily... It's the principle that's important. That they accept authority. That's what's dynamic. The impious person has a tendency to think it is only my endeavor that will make things work. Right? Even the pious will think like that. But the impious has a tendency to not trust. So therefore it will be hard to surrender to authority. To scriptures, to sadhu, to guru. or the pious person accepts authority. So in that way, it makes it easier for them. Does that make sense? The pious person knows only through work do you get good results. Well, the impious person thinks that it'll come on its own or some quick, easy way. Does that make sense? So therefore, they may not make that endeavor, or they won't get into detail to make things nice for Krishna because they're always looking for the shortcut. Does that make sense? So that might get in the way, right? But if it's the principle of working nicely for Krishna, that can be an advantage. But if they're attached to a particular kind of work, then it's not necessarily an advantage. Right? But because they're pious, generally you can explain to them how to engage the piety in the Lord's service, and in that way then they'll purify all those things from the heart, as opposed to someone who's impious and doesn't even know what proper duties are, so they don't know how to, they don't have the sense that there's a proper way to do something. You know what I'm saying? So it's not automatic just because of the one and the other. Does that make sense? Right? So devotional sukriti is what's how one advances. So if one's sincere in devotional service, then one advances. Nicely. Is that okay? But if you can preach to the pious, then that's nice.
So they are more systematic?
Yes, but that means your preaching has to be systematic. It means your preaching has to be systematic. Right? But how pious are you talking about? Just sentimentally pious or in knowledge pious? You know what I'm saying? People are pious and they know that it's because I'm doing these things, that's what makes it work and this is how it functions. Those are those who are sentimentally pious. I'm doing this because my parents do it, but they don't really know what's going on. Right? They have some feeling for it because they've seen the parents do it, so they just do that. And so then, you know, they do quite well. But it's different from those who understand piety.
They're already free from the four sinful activities, makes their person more ready for practice.
Ready for practice?
No, the material energy is already less strong on their head.
So less strong? It's just as strong. Motive goodness is just as strong. It's not that it's less, it's just more pleasant. You know what I'm saying? Let us say you have the man in the high security prison and you have the man in the low security prison. And both of them are supposed to be in the prison for 10 years. So they're both locked up for 10 years. Just one's a little nicer and one's a little less nice. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? But they're both bound. There's not a question of not being bound. Does that make sense?
So they want to surrender to the guru, the Vaishnava guru.
Yeah, so it's all down to devotional service. Piety is a starting place, but still it's material. Right? You're looking for knowledge, you're looking for wealth, you're looking for security or, you know, support. It's still material. But that you're coming to Krishna, that's where then things improve. Right? So now if Krishna stays the focal point, then you'll advance quickly. If it's not, the piety is the main thing, just there was a little problem, so you wanted God to work out that little bit of a problem, then it'll still be slow. Does that make sense? You know, if someone's attached to the impiety or attached to their piety, it both gets in the way of the devotional service. You know what I'm saying? Because this discussion is not about how we're going to engage the various things in Krishna's service. Right? This is about discerning pure devotional service. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's what we're trying to do. If you can't tell the difference between pure devotional service and devotional and material activities, then you really actually won't be able to tell the difference between pious and impious activities. You think you are, but you're not. They're very pious, they give in charity, and they eat cows. So are they actually pious? Right? They're pious on one side, but not on another, so it's not consistent. Their lifestyle is not actually a pious lifestyle. They do some piety, but they don't have a pious lifestyle. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, like that is, you have to be able to discriminate. So this is seeing the difference between matter and spirit. So when we're discerning spirit, then we shouldn't hold on to the element. No, but this aspect of matter is good. It may be good, but it's still not spirit. Does that make sense? It's still not transcendental. If it's in touch with Krishna consciousness, it's transcendental, but so is something of inferior quality. It's just something of superior quality. It works easier. If you have a sharp knife, it works better than a blunt knife. That's all. It just works better. Does that make sense?
That is how you really take it.
Yeah, but even if you really take a blunt knife in your hand, it still doesn't cut a tomato very well. You won't get slices. You may get kind of like chunks.
But the job is done.
Yes, but if that's the level of job you want to offer to Krishna, then hey, you know, if you're doing, what do you call it? If you're doing, what is it? Pasta puttanesca, then it's okay.
Guacamole.
Yeah, guacamole would work. Might even do a good job with a blunt knife. Does that make sense? But if you want something more fine, then you need a sharper knife. You know what I'm saying? In other words, if that is your conditioned nature, that the kind of like smushed up tomato to you is good, then it's fine. Because that's what you would use anyway, that's the result you'd get. And so, in your mind, you're doing the right job to get the best for Krishna. But as we become purified, then knowledge and detachment is there. We might not find it so ideal. Then we will start to tend that, well, it should be, and maybe the pieces should be a little smaller. Or, you know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Because you could probably use your hands and do just as good a job, right? That might not, but you know, if you were making juice, then yes. But, does that make sense?
So we are reading about the also. First you come to Satguru, and then you go to Sudarshan.
That's there, but the point is devotional service will naturally bring you there. The reason we point it out is that we're attached to the material world, so because we're trying to elevate ourselves, therefore we deal with the elevated mode. You understand? Because we don't know matter and spirit, but we know matter. So we can see, okay, this matter is nicer than that matter. So therefore, if I'm elevating, so I elevate my perspective, which I'm dealing with dead matter, I use better dead matter. You understand? So that's what we're doing. Hanuman's a monkey. He's picking up mountains. You know, he's not out there, you know, building this nice bridge. And they're just picking up rocks and throwing them in the water. You understand? So the point is it's just you'll work with what you use, what's your nature. But the idea is that you have to be able to tell the difference between what's spiritual and what's material. That's what analyzation is. Does that make sense? That's what we're telling. The Gita is showing that, but it's putting an emphasis on your practical use of those things in your life, right? And our life is conditioned. So therefore, we will choose amongst that. Of course, we also might look at it, we're detached. So if I'm detached, I won't use anything good. And therefore, in this way, I'm advancing. We may be forgetting that, you know, we're so detached that the result's not so good for Krishna, but at least we're not attached to the material energy, and therefore we're performing devotional service. You know what I'm saying? So the brahmacharis are there, they're rough and ready, right? You know, not so nice, but they're not attached, you know, they're not acting in material endeavor. They're acting in spiritual endeavor. So that's good. Right? Someone else is looking at it something more refined for Krishna. You know, they're engaging their nature in Krishna's service. While the other one is just ignoring it so that they can just be involved in direct devotional activities. Point is that it's connected to Krishna. That's what's good. Now, according to the individual and their situation, then you decide what's there. You know what I'm saying? Because otherwise, the person is not sophisticated and you try to point out the sophisticated stuff and expect him to work on that platform, then he won't be able to function. He'll be so worried about this and that because he only sees the externals anyway, about these subtler externals that he doesn't have the intelligence and the senses for, the mind for. At this state, he won't be fully engaged. But if they go out there and rough and ready and go out there and do the great. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
That's so, higher to devotional.
Excuse me.
No.
Can I just make a comment? There's 25 students here, and they've been sitting here for 2 years, some 3 years. And Maharaj has developed all of these things before. And you're coming along fresh. Maharaj has got a course which he's presenting, and he started to present that. And people who hijack the course, then you've got 25 people who are sitting and listen. Maharaj is an expert. He can show how these points are connected, and he keeps doing that. But he can also present straight from the course, and in time, you pick up on all these things. If not, you can listen to the lectures. We've written essays on these topics. So give Maharaj a chance to just develop what he wants to say.
Right? In other words, you're trying to here distinguish between matter and spirit, what's actually pure devotional service, what's not. Does that make sense? So this thing of how to engage, no, but I have these attachments and good things are nice and this is nice and that's nice, they can also be engaged. We're not saying no, but we're saying that that's not pure devotional service. It's mixed. Not that mixed isn't progressive, it's just that's not the discussion. The discussion is, what's the difference between pure and impure? Because the Gita is spending 6 chapters discussing what is the varieties of dynamic, recommended, mixed devotional activities. Right? But then it spends another 6 chapters explaining, you know, what's pure devotional service. And then it's explaining what are the fine, the higher, subtle elements of the material energy, in other words, looking at it from the mode of goodness, how to discern within the material so that you can function on that pure platform and still work with the material energy, practically. Right? So that's what the Gita is explaining. So this nectar devotion is pointing out the pure devotion. So here we're seeing is that why are we remorseful? We're remorseful because we're involved still in the material world. But at least advancing, we're using a better quality of it, we're using it better, we're connecting it more to Krishna. But the point of remorse is that those areas that are not connected to Krishna, because they're material, that's all. Good material, bad material, it's all material. Right? The sages on Satyaloka, right? The Satyaloka system, so Tapaloka. They just absorb themselves in meditation, but they're not necessarily absorbed in the Lord. And they'll be there. They're pious. They're great sages. But they'll be there for a while. You understand? So it's only devotional service. So these things are all nice tools, but we've already accepted that. Right? In other words, the idea of this level, as Shanti Prabhu is saying, this level of study, we've already accepted that there are superior ways and inferior ways of engaging the material nature. But now, in this superior study, we're trying to analyze the difference between what's matter and spirit very carefully. Right? Because if we can do that, then the next 2 years, then we will see discussions on how in knowledge and culture, how that's connected to and not connected to, you know, very specific. What's connected in medicine, what's not? What's connected in logic and what's not? You know, so I mean, if we can't catch this, which is very obvious, matter and spirit, we're not going to catch those. Right? And then the year after that, then it's going to be what's actually the difference between one philosophy and another, one religion and another. How is it mundane? How does it come up? So this ability to be able to tell the difference between matter and spirit is very important. Then we can analyze within spirit what's the higher levels, lower, you know, what's Raganuga, what's Vaidhi, what's Bhav Sadhana, what's Prema, right? And then within the material, you know, what is in the mode of goodness and why it's useful and how that actually connects to devotional service. Otherwise, it's still mundane. It's a mode of goodness. Right? You clear on this? Like that? So that's the point, is that his point is keep to the discussion, because these points will come up, because it is a complete topic. Because much of the time we're jumping ahead, you know, which is, means we're intelligent, we're inquisitive, we're thoughtful. But when the point is being made over and over again that the topic is matter and spirit, not, you know, that, well, actually this particular aspect of the creation can be engaged, that's just our conditioning. But as Shanti points out, there's another 25 conditionings here. So we have to make sure that it's relevant to all conditionings. Like that. You know what I'm saying? In other words, make the point and get the answer, understand it, you know, like that, but don't just keep belaboring it, because that means that there's not enough background to actually understand it. Right? In other words, everybody else caught it, but you haven't. Not that that's a problem. It just means the pieces to understand it haven't been all understood. So he's saying if you sit here long enough, all the pieces will come into place, and then it'll just be, it's just a matter of a few moments, and then it's understood. Does that make sense? Yeah. So in other words, don't not be inquisitive, but don't overly belabor a point, especially when it keeps coming back to the mundane engagement and the mundane quality and how this aspect of mundane is better than that aspect. We've already accepted that. Does that make sense? Like that. Because the difference here in the class is the class is just generic. You're speaking on that verse and that's it. The chronology is just one verse after another. But in here, it's actually a year's study before this went, and now this is the second year. Does that make sense? Okay. When the teacher sees that the student has received tapa properly, in other words, genuine atonement has occurred, then out of his mercy, the teacher gives him urdhva pundra. After receiving tapa, the student voluntarily accepts a suitable amount of renunciation from worldly activities, right? Suitable amount here means according to your position, according to your nature. So that is, you know, as we're saying, it's not the discussion. That was before, right? It means not that we may not have it. If we have a doubt on how to apply that point, that's okay to ask. But if it's a doubt on the point, this is the wrong forum. Does that make sense? There's a difference there. Like, you know, you've been able to connect so many things with this aspect you can, but you accept the principle, then ask on that. Right? That's what association's for. But if it's at the principle itself you don't understand, then, like you said, listen to the lectures, then listen to the classes, you know, 1 to 6 again or something. Like that. Does that make sense? Like that. Because then you'll see we can go further and deeper. You'll find that there's more of an inspiration, more of a taste. That. Okay. Okay, so suitable according to your position, according to your varna, according to your ashram, according to the specific details of your specific conditioning. That will be suitable. So for one person, it's a lot. For another person, it's very little. Right? You know, so the amount, their facilities may be more or less, their renunciation may be more or less. Right. Does that make sense? Someone can have less facility but not be so renounced, because they would have less facility anyway. You understand? And someone, so that's why when we think, okay, you know, I'm, you know, living in this, you know, little rented apartment, you know, and all that, and I'm giving that up and moving into the temple, so we're very renounced. And for us, yes, but we shouldn't become proud. You know, Rupa Goswami has left being the treasurer for one of the most prosperous kingdoms in India, and he just has his own personal that he left with one banker. That's for emergencies, right? You know, 10,000 gold coins. That's emergency, you know? So then that renunciation is another thing. You know what I'm saying? So they have very great, and they've renounced so much. Well, we have little, and we're not. But the point is it's perfect, because we're only that much attached. We give that much up. So that's why it says appropriate. So we shouldn't get into the thing. So which is better, the guy who has more and runs out, or the guy who's less? Because he had less in the first place, so he's less attached. So wouldn't that be better than the guy who's more attached and then has to give it up? You know, that stuff is unnecessary. That's what we would call mental speculation, right? Because it's not connected actually to the point. The point is it's connected to Krishna, it's perfect. And the connection is your nature. You don't have to worry about someone else's nature. You're more or less, it doesn't matter. They're different. Each individual soul, right? When it says jiva, it means connected to Krishna. When it says the jiva, it's how you're going to connect it to Krishna. So you're going to connect your conditioned nature. So it doesn't actually matter what someone else's is. When you're preaching, that's when it matters. But if you can't identify yours and see the principle you're functioning on, how you'll see theirs? Otherwise, you'll be trying to compare your conditioning to their conditioning and then point out what's better, because we have an attachment that one variety of material conditioning is better than another. But the point is they're only better in Krishna's eyes in comparison to service to Krishna. That's all. Right? We can say Hanuman's moving mountaintops and the spider is only moving a few grains of sand. But as far as their capacity, they're both doing full capacity. So in Ram's eyes, they're both equal. So that's the point. We have to be able to see with that vision. That's Shastra Chakshus. Right? Otherwise, we're using logic Chakshus. Some other Chakshus. You know? We're not. Shastra means that there's a different viewpoint, right? So that's why this first 4 years is spent, so that we have that vision. So when we look at Bhagavatam, which is meant for those who already have that vision, right? Gita is meant for those who don't have that vision, but those who have that vision will also appreciate it. That's what's so perfect about the transcendental. But it's written, so even if we don't have it, we can gain it from there. But Bhagavatam, by association in that, you'll pick it up. Right? But it's not a Bhagavatam's not a matter of speculation. Right? Does that make sense? So we have to learn what is useful speculation and what's not. Right? When it's useful, it's called contemplation. When it's not, we call it speculation. Does that make sense? It's a fine point. It's like the difference between, if we can't tell matter and spirit, we won't be able to tell this either. It's a matter of being able to see two things for what they are without being attached. Right? Just this is this, that's that. Right? So that's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is talking about. Tattva. This is what it is. Right? So the Supreme Absolute Truth is tattva. It's just the way it is. Does this make sense? Right. So within that framework, then we become inquisitive. It's not, oh, then we can't be inquisitive. No, yes. It was supposed to be in that topic. Otherwise, we're overlapping topics, and it's not clear. It gets muddled. Right? And then the mind and intelligence won't be satisfied because it wasn't a very clear, you know, understanding. Because there's so many things of this and that. Right? So that's great for emotional kind of, like, because if it's so clear, kind of the emotions, you know, what do you do with the emotions? You know, it's very clear, okay, I was wrong. Now what are you supposed to do? Right? You know, it's only if maybe you were wrong or maybe they were wrong, then all these feelings that, but I was wrong. Okay, now what do? You fix it. You understand? So, yes? No? Okay. So this appropriate. Are suitable here. If the student accepts no such renunciation, then tapa is useless. Right? Because you're not seeing that you have to move away from the material, just being engaged in the material world. Now, one may also say, but then we see, you know, so many great devotees, they're not like Bali Maharaj. What's he actually, once he's after the pastime where the Lord takes everything away, he doesn't have anything less. In fact, after this Indra is finished, he will be the Indra. Your Sudama Vipra, he had so much, he had more wealth than Indra. Right? So the point is that it's who's it for? That's where the actual renunciation is. Right? So we're trying to get to what's the heart of the qualities. Right? So renunciation does it. The form matches the mood. The mood is there. What's the mood? The result's not for me. That's renunciation. So you can have unlimited facility if that facility is for Krishna. Right? But if you can't do that in that way, give up the results of all these for Krishna, then you affect renunciation by giving up areas of your attachment. Because at least you're renouncing for Krishna. You understand? So you have hundreds of facilities, so you start giving up some of them. You know? Does that make sense? So that part's for Krishna, but the rest of it, you're still doing it for yourself. So that's not renunciation.
As if you're not capable of engaging them.
So in other words, if you can engage them, that's better. If you can't, then you don't engage them. The point is, it should be devotional. So those areas that you can engage, nice. Those you can't, you just don't use them. Does that make sense? So that's the point. The brahmachari, has lustful desires towards women, so therefore don't deal with women. Because a grihastha can't deal with a woman with lustful desires. Right? If he's going to be a proper grihastha and be successful and be happy, peaceful, then he has to deal with, in the mood of naishkarmya, in renunciation. It's one of the bigger jokes, but, you know. So, the point is that that's it. So therefore, when he gets to the point where he can deal with women as a person instead of a sense object, then if he has that need, then he gets married. And then if he doesn't have that need, then he doesn't get married. Does that make sense? Right? So the point is that the renunciation is the attitude. That's what's trying to be brought out here. It's all in the attitude. That's what this article is about. There's the external. And he just explained it. There's the pancha samskara that you see. Right? There's the brands, there's the tilak, you get the name, you have the mantra, you have the deity worship. You can see all that. But then there's the actual mood that is supposed to be obtained through that. And actually, it's when the mood's obtained, then the form is given, right? Which is first, Krishna or his energy. Right? So when Krishna's there, the quality, then the form of that quality, right? So when the absolute cause is present, then the formal cause will then be nicely engaged in that service. Otherwise, if we don't have that proper understanding, then how will we deal with the formal cause, which is Lakshmi, if we don't have the mood of servant? The mood of servant means it's all for Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? Yes? No?
Yeah, but sometimes because we're confused, it seems like often we get people started with the form.
Because that's what they can see. So we're looking at that here. But the point is now this is showing what's actually there. So the neophyte will deal with form. But is he supposed to advance? Is he supposed to become a madhyam? Madhyam means he deals with what's beyond the form. Neophyte means there's only form. Does that make sense? So that's what we're trying to learn here, is how to distinguish between the cause of the purpose of the form and the form itself. Otherwise, for us, it's just, I'm attached to these things because it gets this result, but the point is what actually is that result? We don't think about it. How does that make us happy? We're not analytical. So we actually aren't able to see. When one looks at it, then one can see very clearly that there's a quality that's being looked for. And then this form is the appropriate form in this situation to obtain that quality. Right? The situation is different. A different form is appropriate. Right? Or same situation, different time it may change. You know what I'm saying? So one has, that's where the practical comes. But unless one can see the difference between them, right, then it's not there. So we're starting from that, but we're coming up to this subtlety here. Right? Does that make sense?
When we get the essence, we go back.
Yeah, then you go back. That's what manana means. I've heard. So how much I've grasped, I'm going to...
But the thing was calling up his death.
Oh, and now it's not? Or
it's
blown off. Oh, okay.
I like
this. Or when you got close and you decided, well, it's not worth it. So then you went back. Okay. So... Yes. So then you've heard. So how much you've grasped on the philosophy and the activities of Krishna consciousness, then you're going to contemplate those and see how to apply them into the situation you're in. Then as you apply it, then some things will work, some things won't work. And in that you'll contemplate what made it work, what didn't, why didn't it work, this and that, based on what you've heard. Right, and then what didn't work, you'll contemplate. Well, oh, because there was this subtlety I didn't apply, and this way, then it'll go back and forth between the contemplation of the philosophy and the practical application. The more you've applied practical application, then detachment and knowledge is there. The more you understand, the better quality of the application. So it just keeps nourishing itself.
So culture and philosophy nourish itself.
Yeah, culture and philosophy and nurture. Yeah, it means that, yes, the application and that. Right? So you can also say is then from his question is from performing the activity with devotion, then you get understanding or realization from the Sunday potency, and then from that you're able to perform the chit and ananda better, and then that increases the sat. So just like that, it just keeps going.
Yes. So the right moment to visit the sadhu would be when in my application, there's some doubt came up that I can't solve by myself. So I'll approach someone who could enlighten me.
Yes, and that would be, yes. But also any time is good if the opportunity is there, because we may not have a doubt because we haven't noticed a discrepancy in what we're doing. Mm-hmm. Right? But by hearing, then it'll generate things to contemplate. Like that. So definitely if we have a doubt, we should approach. But we shouldn't base it on that. Otherwise, we'll always have to create a problem. You know, it's just like that. Just like you could say a contemporary usage of getting darshan with guru is you have a problem. So then when guru comes to town, you have to think of a problem. Otherwise, why would you have the right to go see him? You know what I'm saying? So it should also be progressive. It can also be realization. From hearing those, you've done this and had this realization, so you like to share that and see if that's correct. You know? Or you've heard things from someone else, and then you've applied them in your life according to what instruction you've gained from Guru, and you've gotten success, so, you know, you want to share that. Does that make sense? You know, so it's dynamic both ways.
You sharing would be another great...
Yes, like that. Because the point is in that the Guru is giving from a particular angle, you may have, by your application, in a different situation than what the Guru is applying, and come up with some other angles. And so that will be also very much appreciated. You know, or heard from someone else that he didn't have the opportunity to hear from, you did, and that they applied very nicely. You know. Does that make sense? You know, but it's presented from the perspective of submission. That whatever, you know, you apply what you've heard from Guru, and if you've heard something from someone else that you feel value, it has to be presented to Guru so that you can hear from him how to apply it in your life. Right? So the angle is submission, because if it's too strongly put on this aspect, is that the Guru also wants to hear other applications of it. Right? Either from the realization of the disciple or from realization of others. Right? Because all that's sadhu. Then the disciple might think, I'm benefiting the Guru. And then the whole thing will start to fall apart. Right? So that's why, even though those things are there, there's a specific angle or a specific forum to express it. Right? So the point is, it's just whatever one has heard, whatever one's realized, you know, difficulties in application, success in application, all that is things for discussing. You know? But the point is devotional service, not our emotional satisfaction from having sat there and said something and therefore generated an interaction like that. Because otherwise, if that's our purpose, we may or may not be satisfied. You know, like that. That's why there's other members of community like that. Right? That's why a community is supposed to be senior members of the community. So traditionally, that's the Vanaprastha ashram. You know, but because that's not so prominent or well understood, therefore, then it's only seen as, you know, I say, you know, guru, or the senior devotees from the preaching point of view. But we're going to them and we're actually trying to get something emotional that we would normally be getting from someone in the Vanaprastha ashram, right? Because they're detached enough, they can give you philosophy and guidance, but, you know, close enough that they can relate to what you're... the situation you're in. Does that make sense? Like the Aranyakas are explaining the esoterics of the ritual. So that's what the Vanaprasthas are doing. They're explaining the esoterics of Grihastha life. All asceticism, renunciation of one's happiness, all work to control lust, anger, and greed are nothing but useless labor if one does not perform these austerities in order to attain Vaikuntha. So that was the point we were making before. Is that all these things are nice, right? Asceticism, renunciation of one's happiness, right? Working for others' happiness, that's sacrifice. All work to control lust, anger, and greed. All this are nice stuff. But it's all useless if it's not used to obtain Vaikuntha. So that's why it was a problem before, the discussion to point out, no, but it's good. It's only good if it's connected to the Lord. No, but it's, you know, somehow or another that we're conditioned that it stands on its own as good. So that's why I was pointing out, it wasn't actually on topic. Like that. To discuss... you know, how it would be, that's another thing. But to discuss the principle, that's... In other words, by taking shelter of Satchidananda, Lord Hari, the soul follows the path of advancement, Urdhvagati. The illumination of the soul, the mind and the body is called Urdhvapundra. Aversion to material life and attachment to the Supreme Lord are called Tapa and Pundra. Right? So aversion to material life, that's Tapa. It's not, oh no, but this is motive goodness. No, aversion to it, it's goodness, but still, goodness isn't good enough. But it's not that we don't use goodness, because if you say, oh, we have an aversion to material life, so goodness, so if you get rid of that, what's left? You only have passion and ignorance, so those can't be any better. So then you have nothing, so then you end up like the Brahmabhadis, right? You know, there's nothing. No. It's that its only value is that it's a better thing to use for the Lord. That's the point.
Prabhupada, you say all the zeros and you put
yes,
one?
Yes, that's the point. It's so many zeros, you put one, then you have a very big number. So the person has a very big, let's say, power base. But it's all Maya. Even though he does it very nicely, everybody in his power base, you know, respects him and feels sheltered and all that. But it's still useless because the soul, you know, is not getting any eternal benefit. But if you connect that to Krishna, then he'll influence all those people in the way of Krishna consciousness and use all that facility. So it's a very big number. Right? But the point is the one. Right? Like that. Does that make sense? Okay. Aversion and attachment to the Supreme Lord. So aversion to the material life doesn't mean you don't work with it, but it means you are not interested in pursuing it, right? The results aren't for you. They're for Krishna, so therefore it's not material. I use material facilities for Krishna, it's not material. So the discussion, there's no discussion of nice material. There is no material. Right? So that's tapa, right? And attachment to the Supreme Lord, that's pundra. You want to do these things for Krishna. You're dedicating yourself to Krishna. In other words, we're giving up the material, tapa, and dedicating ourselves to Krishna, pundra. Right? Does that make sense? These are the things. So we can see, it's just discussing pure devotional service. Right? That's why this matches, because Nectar of Devotion says you have to take shelter of the spiritual master. So this is then in discussion of that. But we see it's no different topic than the previous section, which we're describing pure devotional service. Because right? Nectar Devotion is only about pure devotional service. That's the there's a name for it, but it means that the shloka that the whole work is based on.
Paribhasha.
So this verse of this is pure devotional service. This is the Paribhasha shloka, and everything else is describing. You know, what's not pure devotional service, what's pure devotional service, what's not pure devotional service, how to give up, what's not, how to advance, what are the symptoms of higher levels of pure devotional service. That's what Nectar Devotion is describing. And so this is, comes very simple, but the point is when our mind is able to function in that simplicity, that's Shastra Chakshus. Otherwise somebody, there's a lot to clutter it up. And it's, Shastra Chakshus with a few major things standing kind of in the way of my vision, like that. So.
I heard those Indian glasses that are almost completely black, just small holes.
Oh, yes, like that. These two ornaments are absolutely necessary for the conditioned soul. O repentant soul, do not delay, mark the body, mind, and soul with Urdhva Pundra and follow the path of advancement which leads to the kingdom of God. Right? Urdhva means the Urdhva Gati, the upward path. Right? So that's the Pundra. Pundra is the marking of that path, the upward path. So that's why our Tilak is up. While the Shankarites are not interested in going up, they are very comfortable to remain in the material phenomena. Therefore, their Tilak is sideways. Because they don't go up. You mean you have stages, like that, goodness, passion, ignorance, like that. But that's it. They stay within that circle. But we break that, and it's the ordinance. But we don't wear both of them at once. I've seen it where they have the one and then the other one like that, but somehow that's their own. So that's why we don't discuss how great the material energy is to engage in the Lord's service, right? We know it is, but that's not the point here. Seeing the beloved student shining with tapa and urdhva pundra, the teacher gladly gives Nama, the holy name of God, which awakens the soul's eternal nature. Because at this point, when Tapa and Purva, when we've given up the material and then the attachment to the Lord, that's when technically we're actually qualified to take up service. Right? So then Nama means you're getting a name as a servant of Krishna. Does that make sense? And you're getting the holy name in that now you're going to very dedicatedly chant it. Right? You understand? So we can see why this is broken up. Because we may not have that detachment from the material and connect, and attachment to the, you know, the spiritual process to Krishna to qualify in here. Right? So we can see we may not be that, because that's why it's split. So that then with the help of the holy name here, then we will, how do you say, advance to the point where we do.
So we're given in advance.
Not in advance, it's just split. Instead of it waiting till this is complete and then doing both sections at once. In other words, this would be the traditional way of doing it. It means that when the new devotee joins the temple, and when they have the attitude and qualification of service and understanding the philosophy to get second initiation, then they would get first and second at the same time. Right? But to help the process along, therefore it's divided that you still only get second initiation when you've come to that standard. But when they're shown at least in our perspective, a commitment, you know, then that first initiation is there, and that brings us to actually being qualified. Does that make sense? Just like Narad Muni as a child, a six-year-old boy, he felt he was very, you know, didn't play and was very focused on spiritual life. The problem, the purport says, you know, a six-year-old plays. But in his mind, he's not playing. In other words, he's not, you know, getting a ball and going out and playing. But it doesn't mean he's not playing with the things he's doing his service with. But in his mind, he's given up playing. But he's still playful. So in our mind, we're committed, but it's not that we're still not, you know, a little this way and that way and so much like that. You know, but when others can, in other words, when we feel we're qualified, that's one thing. When others feel we're qualified, that's another level. You understand? So in other words, first goes on when we're made that endeavor, and second is when others feel that that's there.
And we were explaining this night that disciples of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, also Srila Prabhupada, gave instruction to Jayapataka Maharaj that Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati was a little lenient in giving first initiation.
But not in second. Yeah, Prabhupada also. Prabhupada's point is, there was one letter where he said this, the temple president should call all the devotees in, you know, one by one into his office and tell them, you know, say the Gayatri mantra, all of them. And if they can't, just tell them hand over the thread and send them out. That's it. You know, Prabhupada's point is that because with second initiation, that's where the karma seriously goes to the guru, because the commitment is serious. Before that is there, but it's just the preliminaries of. So we can see is these are the things. But nama means now you're committed to chanting the name and identifying as a servant of the Lord. So then it starts to get more serious. But you don't have, the name doesn't have offenses. That means it has the 10 offenses, but there's not as many as seva aparadhas, right? And the mantra requires the mode of goodness, right? Nama doesn't. You can be in ignorance, chant, and advance. Gayatri is you're in ignorance and you chant, you won't get any benefit. They don't work. That's the greatness of the holy name, right? Is that okay? Seeing the beloved student shining with tapa and urdhva pundra, the teacher gladly gives nama, the holy name of God, which awakens the soul's eternal nature. The eternal nature of nama the holy name of God, which awakens the eternal name of the eternal nature of the soul is servitude to the Lord, and by tasting the nectar of the Lord's holy name, the soul becomes aware of his own spiritual nature. Then he says, I am Hari Das. I am not the enjoyer of this world. Even Maya herself is eternally connected to Krishna, and I must utilize her in the service of Krishna. Right? So that's the subtle point which should be obtained from Nama. Right? Understanding I'm servant, and so I'm not the enjoyer of this world, and the world is to be engaged in Krishna's enjoyment. Because Maya is also a devotee. Out of affection, the teacher gives a mantra that allows the student to easily experience the nectar of the Lord's holy name. The mantra is a kind of prayer that contains the name of God that is inflected grammatically in the dative case. The mantra also includes certain adjectives that qualify the name of God and allows it to express a particular mood or taste.
What are the adjectives?
Adjective. Adjective is a...
Do we receive those mantras with adjectives?
Adjective means a word that will define a noun or verb. Does that make sense? So... you're dealing with these different names of Krishna, then it's implying these different qualities and activities. Right? The dative is saying what's the result of those. But the result means inherently, if you have a dative, that means there has to be a subject, an object, and a verb. Otherwise, dative doesn't have any meaning. Right? So that means in the contemplation, though there's only a few words used, then you can see what is the aspect of Krishna. What is the aspect of his internal potency? What's the activity between, and therefore, what's the result? Right. So that's all in the Gayatri Mantra. Yes. A kind of prayer means it's. There's so many kinds of prayers that it's one kind. You know, what I'm saying, like, you have stuti and you have stava. Right, so stuti is, some will say, well, those are like your Vedic things or things written by the acharyas. Stava is something more you do yourself. Or stuti is Vedic, stava is why the acharyas, you know, or you put into your own words, different things like that. Songs or prayers, like that. So many, yeah, does that make sense? So Gayatri is also a prayer. It's a form of prayer, but it's just in a particular meter, like that. Right? Prayer as a class and Gayatri as a variety within that class. Does that make sense? You know, like you have fruit and then there's a banana. You know, so banana is a kind of fruit. So like that. Is that okay? Yes. Now that we got down to grammar, now you feel comfortable, but now we can, grammatically speaking. No.
That allows a student to easily experience the nature of the holy name. That means the Gayatri will purify you so you can experience the Maha Mantra. That's what it means?
No, it means that the different aspects of what the holy... In other words, the holy name we may take as generic, but we understand it's Krishna. But the Gayatri then defines these various aspects of Krishna. Right? In other words, it's defining the Sambandha, Abhideya, and Parojana, the aspects, which we may not contemplate in the name, though it's there in the name. Right? So Krishna's attraction, or Rama, is, you know, how you say, need. You know, so we may not catch these things. The Gayatri specifically does that. The Gayatri also specifically, you know, what aspect of Krishna? Because there's also Krishna and Rama in Vaikuntha. You know, so this is Krishna in Braj. So the Gayatri then gives these details. That's why I said, without them, still, just by the holy name, one can go back to Godhead. But it helps. Right? It says, allows the student to easily experience. But you have to have the first three qualifications for it to work. If you see yourself as the enjoyer, it won't work. If you see the material world as a place, you know, like that, it won't work. Or you don't see that your ultimate attraction is Krishna, it won't work.
And you are saying also you need to be in the world of goodness.
Well, that's what it means. If you're not attached to the material world, you're attached to Krishna. What mode do you kind of situate yourself in? Right? We're not talking about what mode your occupation's in. We're talking about how you perceive things. So your occupation may be in the mode of ignorance or passion, but it doesn't mean that you are. That's just the modes that govern the mechanics of that occupation. Does that make sense? Yes?
Can we say that the song written by the Rupa Acharya like some expansion of the Gayatri?
Expansion of?
Gayatri.
Not necessarily. They would be using something else to expand from. It's because it's not the Gayatri that's the thing. It's a formalized, you know, Pancharatrika or Vedic prayer. It's very specific. You know, it's like a sutra. It has so much in it, but it's compacted into the. Technically, each syllable has a meaning. You know, so. It's just the whole, you know, that philosophy and that application of that philosophy in the particular worship and practice that you will follow is in the Gayatri. But it's still, you know, it's just like Bhagavatam's the natural commentary. Not that it's a direct commentary. So they're not taking Gayatri mantra and then writing these. It's just, it'll have the same purpose. So here is prayer is the point. So Gayatri is one way of doing it. Writing it in, you know, in verse form is another way of doing it. Like that. Writing songs, you know, that aren't, how you say, as such classical verses or, I mean, they would classical verses, but it's not, yeah, it's just because it has a different flavor, song, right, than verses. Like that. So it's just a different medium to express. Okay? But it's part of the technical aspect of sadhana. So the Pancharatra uses them. Gayatris come from the Veda, you see, but the Pancharatra pulls those because those can be directly used in the Lord's service. Right? Those things that are directly used are Ekaina, that's Pancharatra. Those things that aren't direct, then Pancharatra doesn't deal with them. Right? Like Achman, you can use that. Taking a bath, you can use that. You know, how you dress, you can use that. You know, how you set up your house, Pancharatra doesn't deal with. You know what I'm saying? That's. Other than there's a deity in your house and you worship according to those rules. You know, you make the deity the center of the house, but it's not going to get into other things. You know, where you place the, you know, your couch is here because the guests can come and sit there and this and that and those kind of things. Does that make sense? The mantra also includes certain adjectives that qualify the name of God and allows it to express a particular mood or taste. By giving a mantra, the teacher helps the student taste the holy name by selecting a suitable flavor for him. Those who have not received the mantra can only speculate about the taste of the holy name. But unfortunately, most of their considerations are useless. Therefore, you must receive a mantra. Those who have received it consider it to be the most important samskar. Yes?
In our general understanding is that mantra is not necessary to actually develop taste for the holy name to achieve the perfection of life. As you explained yesterday.
No, but it's not. But here, what is that? What did he do? He said, put in quote, a particular mood or taste, suitable flavor. So that's a detail within a major point. No?
But this is like something uncommon.
Uncommon?
It's common, I think.
Or is it considering some revelation from spiritual master on the spiritual platform?
Are we talking about the same thing? We are. From what I understand, you've adjusted your question, that you started off with that, you know, this we're saying, it considered as the most important samskar because of this specific taste, but the holy name itself is enough to elevate you to the topmost platform. That was the question. But then now you've said, but now in ISKCON we don't use this method. So it's two different...
Yeah, probably just point out how you reacted.
Yeah, but the point is logic doesn't mean reaction. Stick to one point or the other. Otherwise, then I can't answer either. You know what I'm saying? Yes.
You did answer, and I was saying flavor doesn't necessarily mean the ultimate destination.
Yeah, but even if it means that, but the point is there's a generic. You know what I'm saying? It's just like you're dealing with the Lord, Vishnu. Okay? So depending upon your Gayatris, they will point out where you will go within the spiritual world. It's a big place. Okay? So do you have Narayana Gayatris or Vishnu Gayatris? No? Then, what Gayatris do you have?
Krishna Gayatris.
Krishna Gayatris. Okay. Where will that take you? We've already discussed Brahma, so don't mix it up. That's not Panchasamskara. Right? So, of the Pancharatrik, then where within the spiritual realm would those give a specific direction towards?
Goloka.
And in Goloka?
Raj.
Yes. Okay. You know, then you understand? Then Vrindavan, then within Vrindavan, Braj. Okay? So, what do you mean it's not...
Okay. This part is
not known within ISKCON or not done. If devotees just don't know that's what's happening, doesn't mean we're not doing it. Doesn't mean Prabhupada doesn't know what's going on.
I thought that flavor here refers to rasa.
So Braj is not a flavor.
A particular
No, but first catch this, then you can catch, you know what I'm saying? You have vehicles. Then you have cars, then you have a kind of car, and then you have the particular model within the car, then the particular accessories in that, you understand? So if you can't catch the previous one, you're not going to catch this one. So is Braj a flavor as opposed to the flavor of Dwarka or Vaikuntha or Ayodhya, right? So then what is the problem? Right, yes. And so that's close enough. Does that make sense? Okay. Yes? Okay. So, therefore, the holy name itself can do that. But the point is it's a difference on whether that will be appreciated on the Madhyama platform or whether it will be appreciated on the Uttama platform. Because that appreciation of specific flavor can happen at either stage, either that, you know, preliminary Anartha Nivriti called Nishta or at full Anartha Nivriti called Bhava. So at either point that can come up. These might be discussed a little bit more in the next chapter. So, does that make sense? Actually, no. Yeah, I'm not sure if he worked in. There's another book. I'm not sure if he worked it in. That would explain.
In the next chapter, there is no mention, as far as I read, of, as I understood, appreciation of this level on level of Vishnu.
Maturya Kadambini doesn't get into that much, that particular point. But it does make the point. But you also have to understand the words that are making the point. Like when we said up here. After receiving tapa, the student voluntarily accepts the suitable amount of renunciation. So that suitable is the whole first six chapters of Gita. So someone may say, well, Bhaktivinoda doesn't mention it. He doesn't mention, you know, should it be according to, you know, Brahmacharya, this, that. No, he said suitable. So if you know the topic, then it's there. So we'll see when we get there. You understand? So the holy name can take one through to that. So it either will become more specific in the Madhyam platform or it will become more specific in the Uttam platform. It doesn't matter. As long as it becomes specific, if it doesn't become specific, how do you get to prema? Right? Okay? So the point is at some point it gets specific. So you may appreciate the specificness of the detail of the specifics, or you may just appreciate the general specifics. Right? The point is it's Vrindavan. It's not another group of mantras. Does that make sense? Right? So that's why when sometimes devotees go along, they bump into other sampradayas and they're worshipping deities, and they say, oh, there's Radha Gayatris, and there's this Gayatri and that Gayatri, Krishna Gayatri. And so then when we're doing puja and we're doing the offerings, we could use that Gayatri and all this and that. But the flavor will be different. Like that. These, our flavor that's there is Radharani's included in these mantras. But the way that she's included in is specific to our mood. All these others are generic. They can also be Radha, meaning the consort when, you know, Kiru Dakshai Vishnu comes as the Krishna avatar in Dwapara Yuga, 999 days out of 990 Mahayugas out of the 1,000 Mahayugas of Lord Brahma's one day. So we could be talking Vaikuntha here. You know what I'm saying? So it's not specific, but within the Kama Gayatri, it's very specific. So why would one want to add all these other things just because one's bumped into them and thinks it's new and special and different and unique, and now it's, you know, the selecting the suitable flavor. You know what I'm saying? That's why we don't play around with these things.
So on the level, if just by holy name one advances to Uttama, then the holy name will serve the purpose of
all that will be revealed, because it's all in the holy name, because the holy name is the first mantra. The first expansion of the holy name is the Kama Gayatri. And then from the Kama Gayatri, Gopal and all the other Gayatris. And the last to expand is the Brahma Gayatri. Right? So the point is that it's within that same flavor. But all these other Gayatris are expanding as you're moving down through the realms. Right? So the Brahma Gayatri is for Brahman. But the point is it's still... Brahman is with qualities. So if it's with qualities, it means you have the formal and informal causes there. But they're not doing anything, because they're only manifest if the spiritual energy is there or the material energy is there. So you still have that masculine and feminine principle. So even Brahma Gayatri is still talking about Radha and Krishna. Does that make sense? So it's not a problem for them. But the thing is, if the holy name includes all this, but this just brings it out and makes it specific. Like Krishna is rasa, but when Mother Jashoda is standing there, then you appreciate him as the son of Mother Jashoda. But that's already there. But by Jashoda being there, it was appreciated. So that's all the Gayatri does, is make it so it's more appreciable. It doesn't mean that it's not already. It just makes it, that's why he said, allows the student to easily experience, because then it's more obvious, that's all. It's not that it's easier and that it's the thing and the holy name's hard. No, it's just that we're the ones that are conditioned. So when you're on the transcendental platform, you're not conditioned. So therefore all this is it will naturally be more readily available. Does that make sense?
So if the Gayatris are expansions of the holy name, it's basically we're in one sense making our way back to the holy name through the Gayatris, right? To have a fuller realization.
Yes,
of the holy
but
name.
The point is the holy name will still take on the mood of whatever is your place. I had heard about when devotee was telling me he read where Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave a translation of the Maha Mantra according to different rasas and different levels, like Vaikuntha translation, you know, this translation. So that means anybody can do. So how they would translate each of the three names and what their meanings are, like that. I haven't come across the book, but I had one devotee told me about it. They had read it.
That's why they said Lord Chaitanya invested all his potency in the name of his
son. Yes. So it's all there. So it's not a matter, it's through this you get to the holy name. No, these just reveal different aspects that are already there. That's what we said. Krishna is already rasa. But depending upon the devotee, the ashray, then that particular aspect of Vishay manifests.
It's like a commentary or
So this flavor of Vrindavana is there, but not everybody, according to the inherent nature, will take up the full way up to there.
Generally will, but because if they're not, why would they be in our line?
By chance?
You still believe in chance? Big Bang is chance. That one day the monkey sat down and started typing, you know, Shakespeare. That's chance. That something without eyes suddenly one day had eyes. That's chance.
So otherwise Krishna arranged all the souls who should go there to connect with this line?
Why not? You have a university. Someone who wants to study physics, where department do they send them to? Okay, now if they want to study psychology, which department do they go to? You understand? So we have four sampradayas. So you want to go to, you know, Braja Vrindavan, then Hari Bol. If you want to go somewhere else, then the other sampradayas are taken care of. Right? It is said, now Lord Chaitanya's philosophy, we can explain their philosophy more easily even than they can, because we're understanding elements, we're accommodating elements that they don't consider. Right? Therefore, Prabhupada's writing a purport to one of the major verses in the Gita in half a page. Ramanuja wrote it in 26 pages. You know, which is such, you know, a illumination on the verse that it's such great, you know, how you say, performance of, you know, scholastic ability. But then the Ramanuja scholars reading Prabhupada's purport see everything Ramanuja said in 26 pages is in half a page. So therefore they can appreciate, you know, this Achintabhedaveda Tattva can explain it. It's not that it changes the line. It's just we're able to explain it because we don't have a problem in it's two or it's one. The Madhvas will only look at two, the Shris and I think Vishnu Sarva will only look at it that it's, you know, special or purified oneness, that aspect, the mood aspect. Well, he'll look at it, and the Madhva will look at Tattvas, two. And then the Embarkas will look for us one and two. That's why they worship Radha and Krishna. They can accommodate it, but not that they're simultaneous. All the questions, basically, that I could, they could say, except for one or two here, I could say all the ones that are the ones that are discussed and it's really hard to understand, at least for the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, are always the ones where the Achinta Veda Veda Tattva, at the point where they're both simultaneous. No, we would say, no, it's this or it's that. But the simultaneous. How the guy could be engaging sinful activities in Krishna's service, or how could the pious person not be engaged? Right? You know, these things, that this is where the problem comes. And all that was the discussion before here. That was discussion over this last days. All the ones where Shanti, you know, kind of like, you know, raises his hand and goes, we're off topic. It's always that point. We're unable to accommodate how the spiritual material, the different aspects of the spiritual, all these things happen at once. So we're explaining it, how it comes together. You know, you can explain it. There's this and then there's this. Yes, so like that. No, we're saying how it's together. No, but there's this and this. Yes, there's this and this. Yes, but, you know, it's just that accommodation. That's the problem. Right? Karma. I do the work, I get the result. You know, I don't want the result, I don't do the work. Right? That's the point. Right? But that's this and that. But Buddha Yoga means I don't want the result, I do the work. It's kind of like, wait a minute here. We've never heard this before. But out of our unlimited lifetimes in the material world, we haven't heard this before. No, it's karma or it's gyan. No, it's karma and gyan combined. Because bhakti means activities where the results for somebody else. Okay, I can resolve, okay, pious, you do it for someone else, but ultimately you're going to get a result. That's not the point. No, but if you do devotion, will you go back to Godhead? Yes, you go. So then, no, but that's not the point. You understand? So we're so used to it's this or that, that to be able to deal with them both at once, that's the problem. You know what I'm saying? So the same mantra can work on all these levels for different people at different situations. The holy name is complete, but the Gayatris can help illuminate it. But it's not that the Gayatris illuminate the holy name. No, the holy name illuminates the Gayatris. The Gayatris are called Nam Atmika, mantras. The name is their Atma. Like that. Without the holy name, they don't have any meaning. If you gave somebody the Gayatris and didn't have the holy name, they'd get no benefit. Right? They're nicely situated in goodness, practicing that, but where do you find such people these days? And those people that are doing that generally already have some mantras and something. You know what I'm saying? The guy off the street, it's not going to work. You know what I'm saying? So all this can happen at once. Right? Anartha Nivriti can both be at Nishta and at Brahmabhuta. Right? But there's a different, slight difference in them. Right? You have a human child and you have a human adult, but there's a difference. But they're in category the same. Does that make sense?
What is the reference of this statement regarding Krishna directing souls from Vrindavan to this line?
Krishna's Kaviraj mentions that when one is interested to serve Krishna, then, or wants to know more about God or himself, then Krishna puts them in contact with the bona fide spiritual master. So if your nature is Vaikuntha, then why here? You can do it through here, but generally these others are there. But it can. I mean, I know one devotee. He's I don't know what happened to him. I'm not sure, actually, because we were hanging out in the 70s and 80s, and he was actually old then. Yeah, he was like in his 50s or even 60s, so he may have even been gone. He was from the Gaudiya Math, but he was, lived in ISKCON, followed everything of ISKCON. And he, very good service attitude, always do service all day, everything. He was like the ultimate gopher. Maybe like that. Even, you could say on one level, it was different, I was going to say. Otherwise, Bhumna is the ultimate gopher. Bhumna? He's from Canada also. Like that. So, but, and sometimes, because he was a brahmachari, as long as we knew he was a brahmachari, he didn't dress well, he was like a real mess, like that. And one day we were sitting with him discussing, like that, if he was married, this or that, or so, no, like that. And I said, it's like, and I said, something came up, he shouldn't dress properly. He wasn't interested. And then I don't know how it got around the conversation about, about women. He says, here. He says, so then? He says, but the heavenly planets. Now you're talking. So then in the discussions, he was a hardcore, he wanted to go to the heavenly planets. Nothing else. He wanted to go to the heavenly planets and enjoy. But he was smart enough to understand that the devotional process is going to be the most efficient and quickest way to get there. Maybe after that, okay, then we can consider going on, but he's going to the heavenly planets first and he's going to enjoy, so he was very renounced here, didn't involve himself with women, nothing here, money, nothing, very honest, didn't steal, nothing, because he didn't want to jeopardize getting the heavenly planets and having unlimited wealth and facility and all of that. So
he's probably there now.
Could be. Could be. You understand? So, yes, like Lord Chaitanya, Murari Gupta, he is, you know, from Ayodhya. But the point is anybody who will be connected to Lord Chaitanya, then whatever form of Krishna, then that's fine. But this line is for those who will be connected to Lord Chaitanya. If you're not connected to Lord Chaitanya, why come to this line? You understand?
It's not my conscious choice. Which
it's not your conscious choice. So you feel you're not in control. So this aspect of your, how you say, original weakness of heart, you feel uncomfortable that you have been tricked, that you've been brought here, you know, against your direct will. Yes?
What is the position of recently some devotees in Australia kind of become and they're initiated into the glory of mind? What is their position?
It depends what they practice. If they just practice the Shri, then that's where they'll go. But if they're, you know, if they kind of mix the two up, then you have to see how it works out. You know, why are they in the Shri line? We got ritual that will scare any Shri any day.
I'm not really sure.
Okay, but I'm just saying, is that's the thing is they don't know is that our ritual is so much more complicated than any Shri ritual. But the thing is they just repeat things over and over and over again. The ritual is simple, but it's always being done. So that's what gives the volume of ritual. We may only do it once, but it's so much more complex. When we were doing the installation of the deities in Bangalore, because of the nature of South, then they had all the, you know, top Brahmins from all the Sri Vaishnava temples. Some of them were head pujaris of major temples like Bharadwaj or major, you know, pujaris in Tirupati and all these. The Melkote, I think, the main ones were there, this and that. And then and they did a very nice ceremony. But then they had us, because we're Gaudiya, so we did our own ceremony. So both went at once. So as long as we didn't conflict on things, it was fine. So, you know, after a few days, and they kind of came over and said, oh, you know, what are you guys doing, you know? Because they're, you know, it's like, we're the Westerners, and we're the this, that, and, you know, we must be doing some simple stuff, and they're the trees, and they're going back. So then they gave them our book, the Gautamiya Tantra. They looked at it, handed it back, that's over our head, you know, it's way beyond, it's like, you know, stick that we're okay with like that, so... It's the formality is there.
The mood of goodness also that they don't find in this constant.
Mood of goodness you can, but it's also where you look for it, but you also have a transcendence that, you know, is more of the prominence. They accept guru. There's tradition. These are things that, strangely enough, persons who speak against these things, that's why they go outside. Because you see, they go outside, they don't go to something more liberal, they go to something more traditional and more fixed. You know, there's no liberalness when it comes to guru in any of the other sampradayas. And when you're dealing with the Shris or Bhajwas, then in ritual there's no liberality. But the point is that whatever is their prominence, that's where they'll go. Like, you know, one devotee I know, he's initiated in the Gaudiya line, but he associates with the Shris, so when he meets devotees, he says, Narayana, Narayana, like that, you know. And so then, he says, why Narayana? Why is that? Because then you might go to Vaikuntha. His point is, what does it matter as long as we're out of here? But the point is then he won't go to Vrindavan. Because if it doesn't matter, why would you go? You know, the generic stop in the spiritual world is Vaikuntha. You know, everything else is specific. Does that make sense? So, if that doesn't bother you, great. But if you want a specific result, you have to stick to the thing. So, just because we are ignorant and don't know, doesn't mean the Lord and His associates don't arrange. and we shouldn't mistake that arrangement as lack of free will. That the parents washed the bottle and then put a certain thing in the bottle and then fed it to the kid. The kid shouldn't complain, but hey, what if I want a dirty bottle? Or, like that. It's not. Does that make sense? You can only say free will when it's an area that you actually have control over. But now that you know, hey, go ahead and pick.
Free will based on our constitutional nature.
Yeah, like that. So the point is if the nature is that's what's being offered, why not take it? Even if one is from some other realm, why not take it? It's being offered. But if it still doesn't mean anything, then, it doesn't matter. But it'll be quick. It's efficient. I'm not sure. I don't know if the Shris work on one lifetime going back to Godhead. I don't think they do, but I think they have a shorter one. But the Madhvas is 14 lifetimes. Like all those stations that they talk about in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. You have to end at Brahma and then you go. So it's just the way it works. It's the Pancharatric system that's mentioned. So it takes a while. So we have the more direct. They also, but somehow or another it's not talked about in the present discussion of it. It's not necessarily. Shris, it's more of an opening, but the Madhvas is not. Generally you don't see many devotees getting too close to the Madhvas. Yes? So you want to know where you can get an application form?
In accordance to what you spoke, this short paragraph seems to be a little formal, or like...
It means the paragraph is formal.
The content of the paragraph, or the message of the paragraph...
is formal, and so that's a problem.
In this sense that... Technically speaking, one doesn't have to receive the mantra to realize the mantra but on the Dhamma's teaching.
So the thing is here is like this. You have a general point, right? It always works for everybody. But there is an exception. Right? Does that make sense? For any body of rules, there's an exception. Now, why is there a main rule? And why is the one called an exception? Right?
Okay.
So, the point is if we spend our time using the intelligence to find the exception, one, it shows one's intelligent, that one can discern that much. But unfortunately, it shows the lack of intelligence that one can't discern the actual point that's being discussed. Like that. Because that's, when I talk these technical things, that's the biggest thing I run into. No, but, and there's this one thing. So, are you that person that just do the holy name? If that's the thing, then take off the thread and don't chant. Hey, you don't have to worry about it. So, if it's not, then what's the argument for? Who is it for? What soul you're worried about is going to be expected and forced into the chanting of the Gayatri Mantra and has to come up to the standards expected here when they would do so much more better and prosper by not getting second initiation.
It's practical application.
No, practical, who is it?
We can preach to devotees, you should also receive second, or just first is enough.
So, what has been the preaching as long as Prabhupada's been in America?
Second also.
Yes, and so there are exceptions. Generally, someone who philosophy doesn't really mean much to them. They're basically just doing their services and that and don't have that kind of academic intelligence to appreciate the philosophy, then and just do some practical service. They're not doing necessarily big this and that. They don't have to worry about it because they wouldn't be able to accommodate it anyway. So if they, by chanting, they come to the point of, then through their chanting they will, but by their conditioned state, they don't have much to work with in that department. So then you don't have to worry about it. Like the guys that were used to weave the cloth here that sat on the boundary wall that used to do in the 70s here. Like that. It wasn't expected that they would get to that platform. Because for them, all it was is there was temple program, prasad, and that was it, and a few rules they followed. More than that, they just didn't... there was no question of either being interested or remaining awake in a class. Right? So they just made cloth. Because they couldn't accommodate more. Now, from making cloth for many years, they get purified. And then at that stage, they may be. But at that point in time, it's not like everybody else, okay, after 6 months, you get first, and after 1 year, you get second, or whatever was, you know, what was going on. But to them, it would be, 5 years, 10 years. Then it might come. You know what I'm saying? So the exception is there to apply for those who are actually the authorities of recommending who gets and who doesn't. But the preacher, this is the process. Because otherwise, if it doesn't say this is what you're going to get, why would anybody be interested? And if they're not interested, they won't work for it. Because the point is the person who would just catch the internal points being made here and just automatically be fully surrendered to Krishna and absorbed and, serving the Vaishnavas, chanting the holy name, would he have a problem with getting second? No. So therefore, what we're talking about, those who are stuck in the externals and they're being stuck in the externals as such that they can't, in a quick way, elevate themselves to the platform of being able to take advantage of the subtleties that the Gayatri Mantra requires. You know what I'm saying? The person just basically can drive and they can get from their house down to the supermarket and back. Okay? Right? Okay. What is the advantage of giving them a Lamborghini? Right? But now, to an enthusiast, he says, you haven't driven till you've driven, a Lamborghini. You understand? So, we're talking enthusiasts here. If you don't want to be enthusiasts, then great. There are exceptions. Don't worry about it. You just chant. But the point is still giving up the attachment to the material nature, being attached to Krishna, seeing yourself as a servant of Krishna. That much you have to do. At least that much. So that's the point of this article, not on whether one takes initiation or not. That was back on this page. But the point of the article is this page. He's only pointing this out so you have the reference and understand the ritual. This is the mood of it. This has to be gained anyway. Does that make sense? The holy name can do that. This just makes it easier. So it's different from the material world where something can't do it and something else is a better thing. No, the holy name can do it. Just this makes it a little bit easier. You know what I'm saying? It's like you're eating the spinach and it's nice, and then they give you a slice of lemon and you squeeze it on, it brings out other flavors. Those flavors are already there, but the lemon allowed you to appreciate them. But you can't say, oh, so the lemon's higher, so then okay, just eat the lemon. What do you get? So does this make sense? Thank you, sir. Formal means his mood is always that it's formal but it's liberal. That's the mood. You have to understand, he's dealing with a Western New Age audience. And today we think we're the ones that are just coming into it. In the mid-1800s, you had Indian intellectuals who have just gone through British schools, right? Because before that, they went to their own schools. So they end up with a Vedic education. But the British understood to change India, we have to change the education. So we can't educate everyone, but if we educate the leaders of Indian society, they'll ensure that everybody else gets the British education. So they took the elite of India and gave them a British education. So now you have those who are intellectuals, who are into all these subtleties of the Vedic culture, but now are applying them in the Western environment. You know, that's New Age, right? You have mantras, but it's in the Western thing. It's New Age. You have it over here. We don't call it New Age, right? So they're smart, they're educated, and that. What's the difference between 150 years ago and now? No difference. Just they're a little more cultured, right? So, but that's it. It's the same environment. That's why his method of approach is so perfect to present now. But the wording of it, the English in that, is not easy to understand because it has so much in it. So Prabhupada's taken that and put the same thing into English that anybody can appreciate. But it's depth, meaning anybody, so even intellectual will appreciate it. So the common man, the intellectual, everything. Because before, this kind of English was common for just the common man. Means the English that even in America, that the mid-1800s that a regular farm boy spoke and wrote, probably would give him, you know, a master's in literature today. You know, I would expect. You know, just because they just spoke biblical English language. That's what they did. You know, they didn't sit around and go, yo, you know, that didn't happen. You understand? Is that okay? So, that's why we're going through this, because otherwise we just hand this stuff to you and say, read this, right? So that you can appreciate what is there. Does that make sense? So, we shouldn't doubt the writings of the Thakur. Yes? Right? Out of love, next, the teacher explains to a student the procedure of yaga, or deity worship. Without deity worship, the conditioned soul cannot advance properly. Even though one has received tapa, pundra, nama, and mantra, the soul's material condition has not been fully abated. Only when one has pleased Lord Hari is the soul free from the material world at the time of death. Therefore, until the end of life, yaga is necessary, even for those who have received mantra. Even though one lives in this material world without attachment to matter, still there is danger from matter. Therefore, yaga is the proper way to deal with matter. Yaga is the procedure of worshipping the Lord by employing all the physical and mental faculties, seeing, touching, smelling, tasting, thinking, discriminating, and acting. Right, so that's the point, is that the mantra we're just hearing and chanting, we may apply, we may not, but if you're doing deity worship, because there's an activity there, you're having to apply that focus on the Lord through an activity, through a sense, right, other than hearing. So then there will be that consciousness. And the chanting you can do anywhere, but the deity worship you can't. So you have to be clean, you have to be regulated, you have to be all these things. So, if we only had the holy name, you might not worry about, you know, being clean or being on time or this and that. But if there's deity worship, it has to be on time. So all the elements of passion and ignorance, then the deity worship removes by connecting all of the senses that would be engaged otherwise in the service of the deity. So that's why even though one has the mantra, deity worship is important. Right? So we see is that Prabhupada has made that the lifestyle of the pujari is given as the, except for the occupation, means between, you know, how you say, 9 in the morning to 6 in the evening. That may be doing different. He does puja all day or cooks for the deities or this or that. Someone else goes out and manages. Someone else does business. Someone else does other kinds of work. Does that make sense? But the lifestyle from when you wake up, what you do waking up, all the way through to prasad in the morning and then your evening, and then those elements in your house, you know, studying and all these different things, that's all the lifestyle of the Brahmin, right, who would be engaged in the pujari work. So it's all pancharatric. These aren't just arbitrary rules. These are all pancharatrik rules, right? And everybody in any pancharatrik line follows them. They may have different detail, but the same principle is there in all of them. There's no difference. It's pancharatrik. Does that make sense? We're thinking that, oh, that's the lower thing, and we can get higher things else. No, it's the highest thing. Because not only that is specifically given, that is the pancharatrik, but it's the regularized.
Regularized.
Whatever. Yeah, somehow another.
Controlled.
Yeah, because they get stuck between. Because you do all this in English, so you speak one way, and then you do the mantra class, and the mantras are pronounced a different way. But still, English is used as the writing. So sometimes I get stuck between the two, and it just doesn't work. Okay. So your regular performance of activities is then established. So Bhagavat, it's actually a Brahminical Bhagavat lifestyle, but it's been regularized by the Pancharatra. And what areas the Pancharatra hasn't covered, meaning occupation and the grihastha, details of grihastha ashram and that, then the Vedic supports that. You understand? So what we've been given is the highest, because the highest work of a Brahmin is to study and teach. There's no higher work like that. Then after that, then other aspects are. Does that make sense? So that's what we've been given. So that's very nice. So even the person who won't be a pujari, may not have a Brahminical occupation, the lifestyle is that of the Bhagavat Brahmin. Right? So it's been regularized. Right? Who cares? You know what I'm talking about. You only distract yourself if you start thinking, no, but it's that. Because if it's not now, come back in 10 years, it will be. Yeah.
Words convey meaning.
Yeah, words convey meaning, so it does just that. The dictionary defines what words are being used today by people in what way. It doesn't define actually the meaning of the word. It defines how it's being used.
Descriptive.
But how people are using it. Because if people change how it's used, then it's in the dictionary in that way. So, some people complain that it's not in the dictionary. So what? Who cares? You know what it means? So. Yes.
Isn't it also that the other occupations of varna, they are also connected to deity worship, they're creating the facilities?
Of course, that's the Vedic system is perfect, it's all connected to each other. But what we're bringing out here is that the idea that one has to look for something more or the highest is not available to everybody. Is that the new bhakta can follow the same lifestyle that actually generally only someone who's an initiated, you know, into a pancharatrik line would follow. You know what I'm saying? What they whisper into your ear at the, you know, at the later stage of life when you kind of retire from family life or retire from the whole thing and just get into bhajan, then is the sarvadharmam pratityaja verse. Like if you're preaching to Shris, don't quote that. Because they'll go, shh, it's secret. You know? Like that. That's what we say to get the guy to join. You know what I'm saying? So it's different. What we're working on, it's so high that it's not appreciated. You understand? That's the thing. Means there's something that's... Does that make sense? There's something, it's a little bit, you know, a little bit more than you can catch it because you're here and this is here. But if you're here and that's over there, it's too far away. So what Prabhupada's given, generally speaking, is so developed, so refined, so essential. And he's always talking about the essence, but he means what he's given, that devotees will then take and try to take the essence out of what he's, or take it from somewhere else, or stuff like that. So they miss that what Prabhupada's given is the topmost. It's the most powerful, right? And he worked with it to see what balance to use and this and that. And then he was satisfied that what he gave, that's what is there. Because they asked, if you could do it over again, would you do it differently? He said, no. You know, so it's just, it works. Is that okay? Yes.
It was mentioned here that without deity worship, the conditioned soul cannot invest both ways.
Yes.
The second line.
So, but didn't you catch that? Your lifestyle is the lifestyle of deity worship. So without that, you wouldn't. If you were just sitting at your home, in your apartment that looked like a bomb hit it, and did whatever you wanted, and chanted wherever you wanted, you wouldn't advance very much. But because you have to keep your house clean because it's Krishna's house, and you have to keep your kitchen clean because it's Krishna's kitchen, you have to cook in a certain way, you know, you have to wash your backside after you go to the toilet, you know, you have to wash your hands, mouth, and feet, you know, you have to, you know, you eat, you offer your food, you know, and all these things, and get up, and there's a Brahma Muhurta, and then that chantings in the morning and evening, and study and all that. That's why you're able to take advantage of the chanting. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to.
My question was that, does it mean that the Bhagavatam Mark is self-sufficient?
It's self-sufficient for those who are liberated.
Yeah, for the liberated.
Therefore, for liberated. If you're not liberated, then the Pancharatra, basically, you could say, is formalized Bhagavat. Because all the things that are in the Bhagavat are there in Pancharatra, but Pancharatra puts the focus on the deity worship, on the deity. Because that we can see, we'll do that. If it's on the holy name, we may take it seriously or not. Does that make sense? Okay?
Yeah, you have also mentioned that Shoko Prabhupada gave us a kind of Pujari lifestyle. So that means that the Pancharatra, like Pancharatra for Deepa, is a group not only for Pujari, but
yes. You know, it's just like anything we've studied here is for general community. Yes, anyone would benefit. But he's taken out what they could use and not necessarily fully understand it. In other words, you don't understand Mangalik or not, but if you're there every day, it'll have its effect. You don't understand that in the Pancharatra, you're worshipping the deity. So the deity in the temple is everybody's deity. But to worship deity, you have to worship Guru first. Therefore, there's Guru Puja. That's where it mentioned. So in the Pancharatra is where it says that the Guru has to be worshipped in this particular way. So therefore, then Prabhupada formalized in a way that everybody can do it. Otherwise, it'd have, you know, the whole temple, you know, 500 devotees sitting down with their Achman cups, you know, the little pictures and everyone. Okay, now we'll have Guru Puja and everyone gets out their Achman cup. And you got some water? You know, like that, you know, and stuff like that. You know, so then they're doing all their puja, and then afterwards, then how do you clean up all that water from the Achman? You know, so he's made it into a way that everybody can take advantage. So we just say, oh, these are the things you do, but these are all what Pancharatra says must be done. There's not something more. Does that make sense? So it's made it available. Does that work?
Yeah, for us. I mean, also the rules, for example, the rules of cleanliness, like doing a chaman, in what cases it should be done, this or that. Because most of the devotees, they think that this is just pujari stuff, you know, we don't need it.
Yeah, but that's just their lack of understanding, that's all. They don't even know how broad is Achman. You rinse your mouth, you know, after you take your bath and stuff like that, that's Achman. Achman means purifying the mouth. Right? So when you're doing the subtle, then it's done in that way. When you're at a pump and you got plenty of water and a place to spit, then it's done that way. So it's just lack of knowledge. Pancharatra Pradeep has been out for quite a few years. So if nobody's read it, that's not... We're not taking responsibility. That makes sense? So my point means, this is the point being made, if we make it very blunt. is, because we discussed before, is, well, what if we need another sampradaya, or these other devotees are going out to other places because they think they're getting something special. I was giving some examples of these kind of things. My point is that Prabhupada's giving the ultimate topmost method to go back to Godhead and go to the highest platform, the place within going back to Godhead, right? And so one doesn't have to look elsewhere. That's the point, right? And approaching the previous acharyas, you're doing it through your acharya. That was the beginning of this section, right? So that's what we're saying. So exceptions, other things, isn't the discussion. The topic is, Prabhupada's given the topmost in the way of the understandings, the mantras, the methodologies, everything. Right? If there's something, it's just a more detailed application of it, but unless you understand the purposes of the detail, what's the advantage?
It's like a Niyamaga.
Yeah, Niyamaga. Like Mataji said, like, we will think of Shris that they're more ritualistic. They'll do a lot more ritual, but the nature of their rituals aren't more than ours. So if you understand our rituals, their rituals are easy to understand. But there'll be things in ours that they may not understand. For them, then their pundits will understand. It means not the not necessarily your general pujaris, but your scholars who know puja, they'll understand this connection because we connect those in there. Like that. So we make it part of the ritual. Well, theirs, it's an understanding that you're supposed to have. So it's just, the idea is that ours is very, very sophisticated, very refined, and it's so perfect that even if you don't understand it, it still works. That's rare. Like that. So that's the point of the discussion. Utilizing each of these faculties in the worship of Shaligram, for example, is a good way to cultivate love of God. A person without yaga has no life and is forced to accept the results of his karma. Therefore, one should live in this world as Vaishnav and engage in deity worship. Right? So, here again, don't go, oh, here he says Shaligram. His point is you have a deity. So that deity may be a specific deity in your house or the temple deity. The point is that in Pancharatra, the deity in your house is an expansion of the main deity anyway. Anyone who lives in Sri Rangam, their deities in their house are an expansion of Rangaji. They live in Tirupati, they're an expansion of Tirupati deities. You understand? So there's no such thing as your deity on your own, not connected. Like here in Mayapur, they're all connected to Radhamata. Does that make sense? So that's all. You're just having the facility to do that here because you are unable to do there. That's all. So, and even if you're not worshiping the deity, you're taking part in the program. So that is the same, worshiping the deity. That's still yaga. Right? It may not be as detailed. So if you're engaged more in that detail, it has more effect. Right? But if you're not, it still has the effect. You know, and as we discussed yesterday, so just so we don't say, no, but what happens if you're preaching, right? Because the example has to be found. I mean, the exception has to be found, is they still follow the same lifestyle. If they were just on a bus forever and had no Pancharatra regulatory lifestyle, they would not be doing Sankirtan very long. Does that make sense? So still, without yaga, it's not working. We're conditioned. Right? Therefore then, after close study, we conclude that without proper acceptance of Pancha Samskar, the conditioned soul cannot develop intense devotion to Sri Hari. Therefore, Pancha Samskar is extremely necessary. Jaa. So we'll continue with these other points.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jainatai Gaurapringa.